also that today would be Father's Day. That Jared came up this morning. Jared, our son, is 3 and a half. So he's already kind of waiting. So he got a present for me yesterday. And of course, he couldn't wait. So he told me what it was yesterday. But he was quite excited to come and, you know, give it to me this morning. I guess he's understanding the idea now that you give things to Daddy on Father's Day. And so he made a great little card this morning. And then even once he got here, he thought he should make another one. So he folded a little piece of paper, drew a little thing on it, and came up and gave me 2 more cards. Because if 1 card is good, how much better would 3 cards be, right? It really kind of, I don't know, I think he's loving chocolate, so I think he's trying to get some chocolates maybe either after. Really not so glad to share his Father's Day gift with him. But in the spirit of gift giving for Father's Day, we, Jericho has gotten you a gift. And this is an audio CD of a teaching tape that happened at a Promise Keepers rally here in Canada, I believe it was last year. And it's called Awaken at Home. It talks a little bit about what it means to provide spiritual leadership and moral integrity in your home. So as a man, not just as a dad, you can talk to every guy here today. And so you can take that home with you and listen to it. That's our gift to you as we didn't get your plan. So apologies for that. But happy Father's Day to all of the dads. We've been teaching through this last month and a bit our core values here as a church in May and June. And if you're newer to church, we want to extend a special welcome to you because this is a great time to kind of figure out who we are, what we stand for, how we're going to go about living some of those things out. You're going to get a great window into some of those things. And we've talked about going back to the beginning of May. We've talked about transformational truth, how we ground things that we do in the scriptures as our source for life and for godliness. We talked on the 13th of May about having a generous lifestyle, not just related to our finances, but related to the way in which we think and live out our days in our world here and in our community. On the 20th of May, we talked about authentic community, deepening our relationships with each other, and being open and vulnerable and honest with one another, allowing God to speak into that place. We talked in June about passionate worship, and Mark led us in exploration of the worship lab around that. And then last week we talked about missional action, what that looks like to be people who don't just kind of give lip service to this idea of carrying the message of hope, the message of Jesus with us, but that we put it into action in every place that we find ourselves in. And so we've got 2 more to cover off. We're on our second to last one today. And as Aaron mentioned, today is a joyful service. And so I've entitled the message, Ardent in Spirit, Creating a Culture of Joyful Service. Because we want to look not just at how we as individuals think about that, but also corporately ways in which we think about service and loving and blessing our neighbors and those around us. So let's pray as we take some time this morning to look into God's Word together. God, we want to pause this morning and say thank you to you that you are the everlasting God. You are a Father. You are a Father to you, the Father of us. We confess to you, God, that as earthly fathers, those of us who follow that pathway, that we fall way short in so many ways. And God, we require and need your assistance to be men and to be dads and fathers who speak integrity and truth. All circumstances in the lives of our family, who shepherd well in our neighborhoods and in our places of employment. God, it's tough. And so we just confess, because that last song said that we need your strength and we want to wait for your strength. And God, we want to also do that as we take a posture of learning and humility together, looking at your word about this idea of what it means to serve with joy. And so, God, as we look at your word this morning, I pray that you would open our hearts and our ears and our eyes to see, and that you would challenge us, God, that you would talk in your word about that it's living, it's active. It's not just something that a book that was collected and written down several millennia ago. It's alive for today. It has application for our hearts. The way we think and operate, orient our schedules in our lives today. So we just invite you to speak through your words. pray that as we move together on this journey, that you would just help us understand a little bit more what your heart is for us and these issues as well. And the Holy Spirit, keep giving us the promise of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. But when we think and talk about this idea about joyful service, I'm not sure what your experiences have been around this whole idea of service. But for me, growing up, thinking about this, it was an interesting learning experience about service and what that meant and how one was to go about thinking about that. Because both of my parents came to faith a bit later in their lives.
And so when they did so, they began to take us as kids to church with them. And the church that we went to was a small rural church up in northern BC. And as I observed and kind of grew up in that culture, several things about service, although maybe they weren't necessarily mentioned overtly, became quite apparent to me. And it was something in that culture, service was something that you did, not necessarily because you were redeemed and loved perfectly, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It was something you did because Jesus shed his blood on Calvary for you, and therefore the least you could do was shed his blood and sweat and tears for Jesus. That was kind of the operative strategy related to service in that place. And understand, I'm probably overstating the case. That was probably just my observation growing up. But service in that place was something that was not joyful. It was something of it was a duty that you did because things needed to get done. And so you just did it. You just kind of, you pitched in and did what was necessary to make things run in that place. In fact, the kind of the litmus test for your heart in that particular place was the less you enjoyed doing a particular job, likely the more it was God's will for your life. Because if you didn't enjoy doing it, you couldn't get your own motives mixed up in there. It was sheer service for Jesus because you hated every minute of it. So there was no potential that you could get confused as to the whole idea behind service. Service was sacrifice. It was all of these things in that kind of a culture. Service was supposed to be work. It was supposed to be hard work. And joy just was not a part of the picture that emerged in my growing up experience related to it. And in fact, if you had fun serving, say you were like a Sunday school teacher, and you had fun doing that, it was a little bit suspicious, because then again your motives might be in question. I mean, you serve because serving is work, and you shouldn't really enjoy doing that, so you might be doing it for the wrong reasons, so we should probably relocate you to an area that you're less gifted in, because therefore you're going to be more successful at understanding the true heart of serving Jesus in that place. But thinking about it, you know, and I wonder, is that what service is supposed to be like? And is that the biblical reality around what loving God and loving my neighbor and working that out in a place of service really looks like? And I would argue not. And here at Jericho Ridge, we've chosen to include joyful service as a part of our core values in the way that we live in relationship with one another. And I think that the, what is it? Some of the linguists will have to help me out here. Joyful service, is that an adjective? Again, I do well in these types of things. Yes, it's an adjective? Yes, sir. We'll pretend it's an adjective. Can I see it? Yes? Where's Tim Bonner? Okay, thanks, Phil. All right, so the adjective joyful is important when we connect it here with service. So let me read our core value statement for you. As we think about service, we say it this way. People who have been touched by God, who've been empowered with the Holy Spirit and commissioned by Jesus for his mission in the world, have a genuine heart to love and bless other people. So therefore, we picture service as a normative part of following Jesus. Service that is sacrificial and service that is generous. Service that is compassionate, service that is abundant. Service that is expressed globally, that is around the globe and here in our own neighborhood as well, and also within the body of Christ, and that's characterized by the humble, joyful, and gracious response that it produces. Now, where in the world would we get this idea that somehow serving together could be a humble, gracious, and joyful experience that produces character and is an expression of God's heart and service and love for us. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And Romans chapter 12 begins to talk a little bit about this whole idea about service. And let me set the context for just a minute. The writer of this book, Romans and chapter 12, is Paul. It's a person who understands service exceptionally well because he's committed his life, he's committed his heart to this idea about serving other people. He's been through it all. And he starts this section off by reminding us how critical it is to see our lives under the control of God. He talks about in verse 1 and verse 2 about aligning all of our lives, our hearts, our thoughts, our schedules, and around God's will, and seeing any act of service that we perform as an act of worship. I'm going to start reading in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And if you're new or visiting with us, and you don't have a copy of the Scriptures, the Bible, we'd be happy to provide one to you, free of charge, an easy-to-read translation that you can get into, and we'd love to connect with you and help you out with that. In verse 3 of Romans chapter 12, it says it this way: "As God's messenger, I give you each of you this warning. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you." Verse 4, "Just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of his one body, and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all of the others." Then in verse 6, he continues and says, "In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well." So, if God has given you an ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, or admonish, or exhort others, do it well. Be encouraging. If your gift is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend, he goes on to say, to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to that which is good. Love each other with a genuine affection and take delight in honoring one another. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them and always be eager to practice hospitality. See, the heart of this text here in Romans chapter 12 speaks to this idea and this question of service, joyful service. Things like, as you read through, words like enthusiastic and rejoice and eager jump out at me. One of the realities that Paul is getting at here is he's trying to articulate, how does a heart of a person that desires to serve work itself out in practical, meaningful, and joyful ways? Try to answer the question, well, where and how does service find its best expression? Where and how does service find its best expression? So let's look at what the text has to say about this in Romans chapter 12. But firstly, service finds its best expression in a community context, in the context of relationships, in the context of the metaphor that he uses here in Romans 12 and in other places in verse 4 and 5 is that of a body, a picture of a body, that each of us, he says in verse 5, needs all of the others. And in another place in the New Testament, the same writer goes a little bit further with this analogy to convey the same message. He talks about all the parts of the body, how they work together and have different functions, but the same overall purpose when they're connected in with one another. Even though they don't necessarily all have the same way of working that out. And he uses the example about different, more hidden parts that kind of work maybe more behind the scenes and how even though they don't get as much face time as the other parts get, they're just as important in the context of a community. And can I pause for just a minute and say that the same thing is true for us here at Jericho Ridge. You may come here on a Sunday morning or be connected in some way with the life of Jericho Ridge and think, wow, you know, this goes on or that goes on, or wow, they have a decent band or whatever. Well, know that working behind the scenes to get the things that happen around here set up really well is a real strong team of people in the technical department, sound, lighting, media setup. And, you know, even this morning we're having some difficulties and they're working tirelessly behind the scenes to try and get things up to speed there. People like Heather and Derek Roguski that work tirelessly. And today we've got Aaron Franson and Kim Siemens holding down the fort back there. And they're setup teams that work and come every morning on Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock, get here, tow our trailer here, start taking out some of the chairs and the technical equipment and unpack it and all the floor coverings and the stage and nursery toys, get all set up. And this morning was Derek Davies and his team working hard on that front. And so, you know, at 10:30 when we walk in here and we go, wow, this is everything, you know, things are set up and ready to go. Well, you know, it really has nothing to do with me at all, even though sometimes I get to stand up here and kind of be the front person for that. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes in the life of any church, particularly here at Jericho Ridge. You know, and the incredible efforts that the rest of the behind-the-scenes crew make. And that's just a couple of examples. And I'll put in a plug here while I'm thinking about it for this Saturday, that in the area of behind-the-scenes setup and technical things, that we're looking for some more people to come on board to help out with that. And so if you want to come and check out, even if you're not sure what you might want to do, if that sounds fun, I'd like to try some of that stuff out. From 9 to 11, we're going to be here in the gym working through a setup and kind of see how things work, get a clear picture of that, and then decide if that's something that you want to jump in and participate in. So if you do want to do that, maybe just sign up at the Welcome Center. There's a sheet there. Let us know that you're coming so we can kind of prepare well for that and you can kind of figure out how some of those things go. But that doesn't take into account even all of the things that happen behind the scenes in the life of Jericho Ridge. And we've got our office and admin team that look after a whole bunch of things, and people that look after the finances, and elders team that meets regularly, and people who pray regularly in the life of the church, and all kinds of different gifts that we as a family, as a community together, need to function and to operate. And some of the gifts are a little bit more public and a little bit more upfront, you know, that you can kind of say thanks directly to those people, whether it's people working with your kids at the Ridge, or whether it's Don, the team that does coffee, and how thankful we are every Sunday that the coffee's here and ready to go for us. But, you know, there's other behind-the-scenes things that happen as well. And in terms of serving, no one of those gifts is any more important or less important than any of those other realities. And so context service, when it finds its context expressed in community, gives the best witness and testimony to that. That together, the body metaphor communicates that. All of the gifts of the body are needed to be deployed so we have a chance to grow and to have fun and to experience the incredible joy of being used by God together to accomplish something bigger than ourselves. In the context of that body, we serve most effectively. So in the context of community, but the second place that service finds its best expression that is described here in Romans chapter 12 is in an atmosphere of love, of both love for one another and for the Lord, as it talks about in verse 9. And this is interesting that as you look through the New Testament, every time you see a conversation come up about spiritual gifts or about serving, look either just before or just after, and in every single place, you'll find a discussion about love. Think about the gifts that are described in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Right away then, in the middle of that segment in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, takes a whole chapter to describe what kind of an attitude of love ought to work that out. Same thing in 1 Peter chapter 4, same thing in Ephesians chapter 4. Same thing in Romans 12. You'll always find service discussed in a context of love. It's assumed that those who love one another will be prepared to serve one another. And take yesterday as a good example of that. Aaron was sharing a little bit about their story, how he's thrown his back out, and a number of other on our soccer team are on the injured or day-to-day list. And his wife, Kim, they're expecting this summer. So, you know, here their yard is just going crazy with all the rain and things you've been having lately. And so into this mix steps a crew from the soccer team and people from Jericho Ridge who went over to the Rose, help and weed and mow and plant and serve them as a family. Why? Well, because they love them. Because they have a heart of compassion and care for them as individuals. And because love that genuinely expresses itself naturally flows out into a posture of service. If there's a love that's present for someone, then it just naturally comes out in a desire to meet needs in practical and genuine ways. I love the way verse 10 of Romans chapter 12 puts it. It says, love one another with genuine affection. Take delight, get excited about it, honoring one another, about figuring out ways to love and serve one another. And when we honor and when we love each other, service will be a natural byproduct of that, because our motives will be pure and right. We're not in it serving to get anything out of it. We're here to give. And that's what happens in an atmosphere of love. And the byproduct of that also, in verse 16, a little bit later down in this chapter that we didn't read to, talks about how live in harmony with each other. Don't try to act important, but enjoy the company of ordinary people. Don't think that you know it all. When you serve and love one another, it creates an atmosphere of enduring sense of harmony in the life of a community or a family or in a church setting. How many churches today do you know about that are in trouble for various reasons? In the middle of a fight of some kind, sometimes over really petty things. Too many. We've had conversations with some friends even in the last 2 weeks about some real significant challenges in the life of their churches. And, you know, one of the things that that comes up again and again as you probe into some of those things is that some of these could have been prevented if the culture of that place was, I'm here to serve my brothers and sisters in love. I'm here to, the scriptures that talk about that, say, in honor, preferring one another, putting the needs of others above my own needs, as opposed to the usual posture that can happen in the life of a church that says, why aren't I being served in the way in which I deserve to be served? Why aren't my needs being met in the way my needs need to be met? The scriptures talk about the reality that love covers a multitude of sins. And the scripture here in Romans 12 says, don't just pretend that you love one another. Don't just put on kind of a happy, smiley face and say, oh, I really care for you, you know, in your life group or in the context of a Sunday morning gathering. Really, genuinely, get to that place where you love one another. And one of the ways in which that can happen is an atmosphere and a spirit of serving one another. And so service happens in the context of community. It happens and expresses itself in an atmosphere of love. And the other thing that this passage says that service finds its best expression in an area that you are gifted in. In Romans 12, verses 6, 7, and 8, the author begins to list out a whole bunch of different abilities. He says, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So, if God has given you that ability, and he begins to list things like prophecy and faith and serving and helping one another, teaching, exhortation, encouragement, giving, leadership, mercy. And that's not a comprehensive list. It's kind of a primer of a list that he's given. And too many people serve, usually in a context, based on just the observation of a need that they see, or because maybe they felt pressured in to something. Somebody's kind of cornered you at some point and said, hey, we don't have enough small group shepherds for this, so we need you to sign up for such and such or so and so. And for a period of time or a season, that can be an okay thing. But over time, that's not really the kind of service that produces true joy, is it? Because that's the kind of service that's kind of based more on a scheduling convenience, or, oh, I guess there's a critical need and I should jump in and fill that. And there is a time and a place for that. There's a time and place, just like in a family environment. You know, if there's something that needs to be done, they'll say, well, frankly, I'm not real fit to take out the trash. It's just not my bag. It's not my thing. It's not really my day of the week. But there's sometimes in the life of a family where you just roll up your sleeves and you say, something needs to get done, and so now's the time to jump in and do it. And there's a reality to that in the life of a local church. But there's also long-term, that's not an ideal scenario for serving to find its place of joy in particular. Because the real objective and the real heart of that is that if the scriptures teach that God has given each of us something that we can do well, then our goal, our desire, our objective ought to be to discover that and to walk into that in some way and to figure out what that thing is and then to begin to serve in that area and in that capacity. Because real joy will come when you begin to understand and serve in your sweet spot, that area where your gifting and your personality and your natural talents and abilities and your life experiences and the spiritual resources that God has given to you begin to align and express themselves in some meaningful way. And so you'll notice that around here at Jericho Ridge, when we talk about service, we're not trying to just set up a list of things that we feel need to be done around here and then look at a list of people and try and fit those two things together. That's exceptionally short-sighted when it comes to a real picture behind joyful service. That's just shoving square pegs in round holes. We're not interested here in filling a bunch of slots or putting together huge lists of volunteer positions that we somehow need you to fill. What we're interested in is seeing you develop and grow as a person who's shaped in God's image and grow in your walk with Jesus. And so one of the ways in which we do that is to help figure out how God has wired you up and how then, ask a simple question, how can that best be expressed? Where would that find its most natural expression? You know, for some of you, God's given you incredible talents and abilities in a certain area. And whether it's with finances, wisdom in that area, or whether it's with working with kids and just having a capacity to teach so that they understand, whether it's with hospitality, when your people are with you just feel they feel incredibly relaxed and at ease. All of these different things are things that God has built into your life for a purpose. And too often we just kind of look at service as, oh well, I guess I've got stuff for me to do around there, so I'll just figure out, you know, what it is and kind of bump along in that. And maybe you can get through and get by because maybe a part of that area of that you're serving in expresses a part of who you are. But our real heart and desire is to turn that a little bit on its head and say, what are the gifts for you? Who are you as a person? How has God wired you up uniquely? And then let's release that. Figure out how that would best express itself. And if that's hospitality and it would best express itself helping Don and the team out with coffee, fabulous. If that's hospitality and you pair that with a real strong, like we talked about last week, bent for missional activity and action out in your neighborhood and in the world, well then maybe that's going to mean opening your home up and having people who are far from God in and helping them feel comfortable in that setting as you share from your life and your experience. You know, maybe that looks like you going globally in some place, overseas, and expressing that. our heart is not to put together this kind of master idea list that we have of things we think ought to happen around here, because that'll only rely on us being as smart as we think we can be. But God has gifted each one of you so uniquely, wired you up with something that He's placed a passion in your life. Something unique, something that maybe you haven't tapped into yet. Maybe you've just begun to think about it and tap into it. And if we want to see joyful service be what characterizes the life of Jericho Ridge and our lives as individuals, that's the place that we want to get to, is assisting you in cultivating and developing and understanding who it is that God has made you to be and how that ought to live itself out. And more on that in a few minutes. I'll just give you an assignment, a take-home assignment. But just before I do, I want to get two volunteers just to come up and kind of picture what I'm talking about here in terms of the attitudinal component of service. Can I get two volunteers? All right, Jay? Okay. And who else? All right. Steph? Is that? Yeah. Okay. All right, come on up. All right. Jay, I want you to stand over on this side here. And Steph, I want you to stand over on this side of the stage. And we're just going to give a picture in our minds, because so often when the scriptures talk about service, they don't necessarily talk about what you ought to be doing, but more often the scripture talks about the way, the attitude, the heart in which it ought to be displayed. And there's a verse in here, as I was reading through this last week in Romans 12, there's a phrase in Romans 12:11 that comes up. And I didn't quite know what it meant, but this word is ardent, or ardently. And I had no clue what it meant, so Keith and I looked it up, and dictionary.com, you know, very helpful. And then we tried to figure out, what does this word mean in the context of this scripture verse? We did some other research on that as well. It's one that's used in all kinds of different, I think that was the New American Standard Translation, that described the posture of service, the attitude of service. Ardent was the definition of this word. The New Living Translation says enthusiastically, but it's a little bit deeper than that. So we need a word picture of what this means. We need a word picture maybe what the opposite reality is. So ardent means this. When you serve ardently, it means having or expressive of or characterized by intense feeling, passionate, or fervent. There's an intensity, there's a devotion, there's a fervency communicated there. A devotion, an eagerness, an enthusiasm, or a zealous. Some of your Bibles might actually use the word in Romans 12:11, serving with zeal. Burning, fiery, or hot is another way that this word is used. So if we want to try and cultivate an ardency in spirit about how we go about serving, the opposite of that might be a picture of complete apathy. So Jay, I'm going to ask you to demonstrate for us a picture of complete apathy related to service. So that's good. I can see you've done this before. And maybe Sue will say, hey Jay, can you help out around the house? Can you do this? Can you do that? This complete apathy pictured here for us. Maybe like even cross your arms, you know, like not even interested in beginning the conversation. Yeah, that's good. Maybe go lay down, just get comfortable, you can go to sleep here. Total apathy when it comes to a spirit of service. And then, Steph, I want you to kind of demonstrate the opposite of that, ardency. I don't know how you want to demonstrate. I'll give you a hint. One of the pictures that comes up in the scriptures is that of a servant, a person who serves, obviously. And often in that culture and in that time, what the servant would do is they would be the one that was ready to do whatever was needed, but they would have a towel over their arm, a towel of service, because often the first thing that they would have to do would be to greet people at the door of the home as they would come in, and their feet were dirty and needed to be washed. So we're not going to have you do that today. But a picture of ardent service might be that picture just of the servant with their arm out and a towel just draped over their arm, ready to do that which needs to be done, standing at attention, scanning, observing, being ready, kind of being active in their posture of service. So I don't know. Give it a shot. See what it is you think you come up with. Pardon. All right. That works. That works. Okay, thanks, guys. You know, the picture that emerges in the scripture is that posture of readiness of response, of ready to respond to the question, how can I help? How can I help? What is it that needs to be done? A spirit of intensity, of devotion, of zeal. And notice how these are deeper questions than that of emotion, how I particularly feel about serving today. Because frankly, there'll be a lot of times in the life of a faith community together that you don't necessarily feel like serving. There's times when you look at your clock when you're part of a setup team and the alarm goes off and you think, I could think of a number of other things to do other than get up, drive my vehicle to the school, and begin to help set up chairs at 8 this morning. So I'm not saying that when we talk about ardency and joy in service, that somehow this will translate into all of us feeling wonderfully happy about this all of the time. Sometimes service is hard work. Sometimes it is jumping into a place of need. Sometimes it's jumping into such a place of need that we feel so overwhelmed we don't know particularly what to do. Getting involved in serving and loving people that are going through some incredible transitions and hard and difficult times in their life. But the overriding posture of a servant is readiness to do that which needs to be done. They realize that when it's time to jump in to action, they're first there with the towel and the basin. And they have the unique privilege then of being used by God to have an impact on the lives of others. And verse 12 of Romans 12 says it this way: be glad, be excited about all that God has planned for you. And so I would ask this as a personal reflection question, thinking about serving and joyful service. The question is this: do I as an individual, do you as an individual, know my gifts, my abilities, my motives, and my calendar well enough to serve with joy? Do I know my gifts, abilities, motives, and calendar well enough to serve with joy? Because any one of those four things can trip us up. We can really want to serve with joy, but maybe our calendar's preventing us from doing it. We can really have a desire to do it, but maybe we don't have necessarily the greatest gift or ability in that particular moment. Maybe our motives, maybe there is an attitude of apathy towards serving. Maybe there's just unclarity about what it is and how it is that God's wired you up and how God has uniquely gifted you. And so I'm going to ask the ushers if they would come and distribute something called a personal ministry resource inventory. Now, how many of you have taken spiritual gifts type questionnaires before? Okay, some of you have. I don't like them. Don Pop. The reason I don't like them is because the way in which most of them are set up is, you know, they ask questions like, do you regularly have people over to your house for a meal? Well, what gift are they asking about there? Hospitality. So I look at it and I go, I'm not sure how regular I do, but you know, I really like the gift of hospitality. I want the gift of hospitality. I'm going to give myself a 4 on that, because who's to say what often means, really? I'm going to put down, I regularly do it. Absolutely. And so it spits out, hey, I have the gift of hospitality. Sweet. You know, or it asks about, you know, have you ever prayed for someone and they've been healed? Like, okay, it's a yes or no answer. It's hard to grade yourself on a scale of 1 to 4. Like, on that one, it's either a no or a yes. So what's that? Well, gift of faith or gift of healing, you know? So those inventories, those kind of things are, I don't know, they just feel a little bit artificial to me, and sometimes they help get at some of the real things that maybe God has been teaching you. But more productive might be just a series of questions asking you about your life, your experience, and your journey, and things that you've seen or maybe would desire to see in them. And so we've got copies here for you today of this, and this is certainly not our invention. It's something that we had at our sister church, North Langley, we had Dr. Ken Redant from ACTS come and do some teaching about it. So this is his material, and we've got permission to use that in our context here for Jericho Ridge. But just take some time to, over the course of this week, go through and read through some of these questions, because there's a lot more than we can cover here on a Sunday morning as it comes to the attitude and thoughts about serving with joy. And that will help get at some of those questions for you, help us try and accomplish together not so much a filling of a list of responsibilities, but a deepening of your walk with God and how that would play itself out. And so if you've got more questions about that, on the back page it tells you how to go about following it up. Spend some time filling it out, looking it through, and then you can talk to either Judy Friesen, who is working with our volunteer development, or Keith Reed, or myself as well. And out of that then comes our corporate reflection question that says, are there any specific barriers to unleashing a culture of joyful service here in the life of Jericho Ridge? Because if, in a core value sense, if we can get this part of it right, or even partially right, if we can begin to see people released in their God-given areas of ability that fits with who they are as a person, and they're working and operating under the power of the Holy Spirit in this, man, I tell you, that will make a radical difference. Not just interior, in the inside of our church, in the inside of your life. That'll make an incredible difference in the life of our community, in the life of Langley and Surrey, as people begin to get a vision for what it is that God has uniquely for you. New attitudes and avenues of service will begin to emerge and pop up. I can picture also those being expressed in all different parts of the globe as God calls us to deeper and more radical commitment in our mission together, and as we begin to step out and serve in that. But we will be limited by that if we don't begin to understand and seek out specific barriers to unleashing a culture of joyful service. And so that's where we want to continue to have that conversation together. And I invite you to speak into that. If there's anything that you see going on around here or not going on around here that you say, I want to be a part of changing that. I want to speak into that place. And these are ideas or things that I feel strongly about in the area of joyful service. I invite you to continue doing that. And a way of kind of shaping that conversation will be this personal ministry resource inventory that you can take home and begin to look at and process together. And we want to begin to see God do an incredible thing of releasing us into new ways of serving Him with joy in an attitude and atmosphere of love and in a context of our local community and beyond. So let's pray together that God would do that. God, we say thank You for Your heart and Your desire to see people serve. You did not come, the scriptures say, to be served, but to serve, to give Your life, Your very life, as a ransom for many. And so God, as we carry that message with us, that's going to call each of us to a deeper level of commitment and service to You and to one another. And so God, we pray that You would stir that up here. We can do certain things organizationally to set that up well. We can talk about it. But God, that is, by and large, a move of Your Spirit in each of our hearts and lives to stir up a deeper passion for You that expresses itself in joyful service for our neighbors, for those around us, in our places of employment, in our schools, here in this place, in this high school. God, You've given us creative venues to serve here. God, we would pray that You would continue to lift up our eyes, continue to help us experience more of Your grace and goodness, that we would serve and love one another with joy. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks, gang. We have deeply appreciated being here this morning together with you and having you here with us. And if you have any questions about anything that you've heard or seen this morning, you can come and talk to myself or talk to our any member of our team, and we'd be happy to connect with you and get whatever information you'd like. And we will see you here on Saturday to come and join for training day, and then we'll see you here on Sunday next week for worship and gathering together next week. So take care and God bless.
To the wonders of your heart, to your